Thursday, September 5th. In Europe, Romania's King Carol has yielded to a dictator, General Antonescu, an army favorite known as the Red Dog. Antonescu has been friendly with leaders of the pro-Nazi Iron Guard. And German planes, following up Hitler's threat to erase British cities, carried out furious attacks during the night. The British answer was to raid Berlin and other German cities. Now the news direct from Europe, London, Berlin, and Rome. First, a report from the British capital by Edward R. Murrow. Go ahead, London.
This is London. We've already had our after-breakfast air raid warning. The doorman at my house remarked, "Them strangers is over again." The warning lasted about an hour. Eric Severide, who took a room down in the Thames Estuary last night, says that he shouldn't have been charged for the bet because he spent most of the night in the air raid shelter. He adds that this morning's raid seemed to be confined to the mouth of the river, and it was not nearly so intense as last night. It appears that the daylight raids on London are now of shorter duration, with the German emphasis being placed on their night visits. The Air Ministry says the raids last night were scattered, but lasted almost all night. Bombs fell at many points. A large number of fires were started, which were brought quickly under control. Houses were damaged in many areas, and a number of casualties caused. In the London area itself, damage is declared small and casualties very slight. The music critic of the London Times reports that air raid sirens in B-flat added an obbligato to the nocturne of Borodin's string quartet at the National Gallery last night. He says, "The extraneous disharmony sent the audience to the place prepared below." Both the press and radio consistently devote much more space to the RAF activity over Germany than to the German bombing of Britain. This morning, great prominence is given to the bombing of the Black Forest, a low, wide mountain range in southwest Germany, about 100 miles long and 10 to 15 miles wide, some of the loveliest country on the continent, and well known to many Englishmen who have walked and bicycled through it. The fires were also started in the Grunewald Forest near Berlin and on the richly wooded slopes of the Harz Mountains. It is stated that the object of the bombing was to set fire to arms factories hidden beneath the trees. Herr Hitler's speech last night is fully reported in today's papers. The general opinion of London editors seemed to be that he was raging over his failures and screaming threats to erase British cities. The Daily Express points out that he talks of no more blitzes and of a long war. The Daily Herald believes the German leader was attempting to reassure his raid-harassed people. The routine of living and working is constantly changing. Beds are being moved to basements or lower floors, and many office buildings and factories maintain their own watchers on the roof and send their workmen underground only when planes or gunfire are reported in the immediate vicinity. When there's a lunchtime raid, some restaurants close their doors, but others carry on as usual. Some revision of the whole system of air raid warning will probably be announced soon. Originally, the siren was supposed to be an instruction for everyone, wherever he was and whatever he was doing, to take cover. In future, it will probably be considered more in the nature of an alert signal, warning people to be ready to dive for cover when the guns or planes are heard. A few London shops invite their customers down to the basement shelters, where they display such things as books, games, knitting needles, and wool. Business down there in the basement is said to be rather good. Government officers have established rooftop watchers and generally evacuate only one or two of the top floors when the sirens sound. In some areas, where the Germans have been accustomed to pay nightly visits, people don't wait for the sirens. They just take their blankets or mattresses and go to the shelters to sleep. A few drug stores are beginning to display special ear pads and a little rubber gadget that's supposed to be placed between the teeth when the bombs are falling. This wartime accessory resembles a baby's pacifier. One of the best-known fashion experts in London is predicting that women will soon be wearing blue or green or yellow woolen stockings to match the colors of their autumn suits. Women's clothes are supposed to be, quote, practical and gay, unquote. There is to be a Macintosh cape that can be blown up to form a mattress and a pillow combined. Velvet collars and cuffs are to take the place of fur. And bright imitation jewelry will replace the family jewels which are in the bank vault. I return you now to CBS in New York.
That was Edward R. Murrow reporting from London. Here's the latest news from the Balkans. King Carl of Romania, as we reported at the beginning of this broadcast, has yielded most of his dictatorial powers to General Ion Antonescu, an army favorite known as the Red Dog, friendly with the leaders of the pro-Nazi Iron Guard. Antonescu took the oath as premier several hours ago after he and Carroll had issued a joint decree suspending the Constitution, dissolving Parliament, limiting the King's powers, and conferring all of the authority on Antonescu. Now the latest news from Berlin.
British bombers again visited Berlin last night and received a roaring welcome from the German flak, or anti-aircraft batteries. The raid started shortly after midnight, almost to the minute that we are now accustomed to hear the sirens sound their warnings. The attack seemed to have three peaks, judging from the crescendo of AA fire, and the papers this morning give us this report. Quote, shortly after midnight, a strong anti-aircraft fire shot down one British plane before it reached Berlin. Only a few planes succeeded in penetrating the interior of the municipal area of Berlin. At two places in this area, explosive bombs were dropped. One bomb that fell into the tear garden killed a policeman. The second bomb hit an ordnance depot of the army in a northwest suburb without causing serious damage. In a southwest suburb, one house was damaged by falling pieces of shrapnel of an anti-aircraft shell. End of quote. The British raid added a dramatic touch to an interesting day. Late in the afternoon, the correspondents were taken to the Sportspalast to hear Herr Hitler open the winter relief campaign. And in his speech, Herr Hitler made a specific reference to the English night raids on Germany. But now, he warned, the German Air Force will answer the British night by night. And when the British drop 2 to 3 tons of bombs, the German flyers will answer with 50, 100, 200, 1,000 tons of bombs on Britain. And he added that if the British say that they are going to attack the German cities on a large scale, then the cities of England will be razed to the ground. As regards these night raids, there's a day-and-day report this morning that German bombers attacked numerous harbors on the east and west coast of England last night. At several points, great fires were observed, according to this report. The British fighters were unable to drive off the German planes, it is said, and all but one of the attacking force returned to their bases safely. Also, the agency says the British bombers raided the well-known German health resort of Bad Kissingen last night, but hit no military objectives. The Deutsche Allgemeine Zeitung carries a story about 6 Americans who were taken off a ship in the Atlantic, captured by a German naval vessel. The 6 Americans were en route to South Africa. Their names, as given in this paper, are Mr. and Mrs. Roy O. Yoder, Y-O-D-E-R, F.A. Schmollenberger, Jesse M. Nicholson, Frank J. Kunstner, and Zola C. Kunstner. We have no details as to where they are from in the States. The Americans were first taken to a French port and then given transportation by the Germans to Irun on the Spanish border. They have written a letter, published in the paper, to the German authorities thanking them for the kind treatment which they received. Another American angle to the news, or the lack of it, I should say, is to be found in the editorial comments on the trade of 50 overage American destroyers for English naval bases in the Western Hemisphere. For a while, for at present, British Berlin papers and the radio jibe at the British for having to surrender their empire piece by piece. But there is no attendant criticism for the United States' assistance in releasing the naval vessels. It is curious, for one might have expected that this deal, which may enable the British to fight off the German invasion, if and when it comes, should arouse some official public criticism of the American government. But if the present is any indication of the immediate future, the German government and press will probably take no action calculated to influence the presidential election. The Germans don't like Mr. Roosevelt, so they will probably refrain from any action that will affect his chances of re-election. At least, that is the feeling we American correspondents get here in Berlin. Switzerland is given another editorial rap over the knuckles for its reported failure to stop foreign warplanes from flying over its frontiers by the papers this morning. And the Burschen Zeitung writes, quote, in the long run, the German and Italian governments will not comply with such an inactive attitude of the Swiss government. Neither single lame protest to London or the firing of anti-aircraft guns can be convincing that a nation is determined to defend its neutrality with all possible means. End of quote. This is Edwin Hartrich. I return you now.
New York, and now Cecil Brown is standing by to report the latest news from the Italian capital. We take you now to Rome.
This is Rome. The heaviest action of the war between British ships and Italian planes has been going on in the eastern and western Mediterranean. The Italian High Command, in a bulletin just issued, announced that a British naval attack on the Dodecanese bases remained a number of British ships were hit and reported the destruction of 17 British planes. On Tuesday, in the Aegean, a large British convoy escorted by followed by Italian reconnoitering units. The war bulletin said the British intent on protecting the convoy from an air attack on the Italian bases in the Aegean. The offensive started at dawn yesterday. Two British air formations roared over the fascist airfields of Gadur and Marissa. These are on one of the islands of the Dodecanese, nearest to the Greek island of Crete. Two Italian planes were hit on the ground. And meanwhile, the British naval units began shelling Scarfanto, another base on the same island. The bulletin says this shelling caused slight damage to houses and wounded some civilians. Italian fighter planes immediately went up, and the ground defensive blazed away. The communique says seven British planes were brought down. The crews of three of them, totaling eight fliers, were taken prisoner. The high command said that once the British had been repelled, the Italian counteroffensive was started. From 7 o'clock in the morning until 5:30 yesterday afternoon, fascist air formations carried out five mass attacks against the British convoy. The communique says that in spite of the reaction of British fighter planes and anti-aircraft defenses, four British vessels were hit and seriously damaged. The report adds that five British fighter planes also were shot down. And in this attack, two Italian planes are reported missing. At the same time, the high command says Italian fast motor torpedo boats attacked a British ship. Their fire was successful, says the bulletin, and it was directed against a British cruiser and two destroyers. The action of these torpedo boats took place in the Channel of Casso, near the Greek island of Crete. One Italian motor torpedo boat failed to return. British ships were also attacked in the eastern Mediterranean. The communique says that three British cruisers and two destroyers, which were cruising off the coast of Algeria, were bombed heavily by Italian planes. The high command says two cruisers were hit by large-sized bombs. On the deck of one of them, a sheet of flame was observed. In North Africa, intense activity is reported on both the Italian and British air forces. Raids by the British, the communique says, caused only minor damage, one death and 11 wounded. Four RAF planes were reported shot down. All the Italian planes are reported safe. In East Africa, during a British raid on the field of Iavello, a British Hampton plane was shot down, and another one probably destroyed. The bullet reports an Italian bomber formation has seriously damaged a British vessel in the Red Sea. Well, according to the Italian version, the British lost 17 planes, and six of their ships were hit. The Italians give their losses as four planes and one torpedo boat. The Italian papers today continue their discussion of the Anglo-American naval and air base deal. The Rome newspaper, Messaggero, for example, says it appears that the agreement is the prelude to much greater exchange. And one of these, the paper says, is the cession of Canada to the United States. As the Messaggero stated, Britain has come to see in Canada and the Antilles the platform for an eventual... against Argentina and Chile by making England cede the bases on the Falkland Islands. For this, the Rome paper adds, England would get another batch of old destroyers and second-hand airplanes. The Messaggero claims that a first exchange of views regarding the Falkland Islands already has taken place between London and Washington.
And with this news from Rome, Columbia concludes this morning report of European development, which comes to you each morning at 6:45. Rather, each morning at this time and each evening at 6:45 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Edward R. Murrow reported from London, Edward Hartridge from Berlin, and Cecil Brown from Rome. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.